prayed for Dr. Pepper, and we also prayed for Dr. Pepper because he worked alongside us in Lesotho when I was team leader there. So it was good to see him on the video, see how God is still using him. Again, we thank you so much for the way this church gives. I'm just amazed by that Lottie Moon goal that you have set amongst yourselves for the reaching of the nations. And so we think, when I think of Christmas and we think of Christ coming as a small child, he came for you and I, but he came for the nations. And so that for that, we are thankful. Also for your cooperative giving. We appreciate that so much. We do so much more when we work together. There's an African proverb that Cindy and I have used often. It says, if you want to go far, if you want to go far, no, my proverb, I used to know it real well. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And so I had that for the very ending of what I wanted to say to you. But anyway, I just think that we do so much, and we have seen on the field that we do so much when we work together. Cindy and I, as Pastor shared, we are former IMB missionaries working in the country of Lesotho in southern Africa and later on to Botswana. But we are home now and currently serving with the SBC of Virginia. And we are in missions mobilization. And so I'm going to let Cindy tell you a little bit about our children.
Let's see if this clicker works. Okay, there they are, Zachary and Eli. Zachary with his wife, Sarah. Both boys grew up in Southern Africa, came back home, went to Liberty University. Zachary and Sarah have just a month ago moved to Seattle, Washington to help plant churches among Chinese immigrants. And so they are continuing in missions. Eli lives and works in Richmond, and so he's not too far away from us. And we're glad to be home and glad to be where they are. At least I told Zachary, I said, you had to move as far away as you could once we got home. You may as well be in Africa. And the last thing he said was, Mom, I'm sorry, but this is what y'all showed us how to do. So we couldn't argue with that, and we're blessed.
So this morning I'd like to begin sharing with you, when we put this together, it's quite a while ago, and we still use it often, but I think David Letterman had his top 10. Well, the Melvins in Africa had their top 10 as well. And it's, you know when you're in Africa, when. When sticks are number 10, when sticks insects look like sticks, and anthills and things, insects just aren't doing some different things in Africa. Number nine is you'll find the chicken feet, and usually the heads are packed together, and it literally says on the package, walkie-talkies. So, these things aren't wrong. These things aren't wrong, it's just different. So number eight of our top 10, you have one burner on the stove in Africa. You know you're in Africa when you have one burner. And so number seven, in Africa, when they slaughtered the cow in the village, and there's no electricity, so you have to slaughter it in your living room or in your home, and you have to divide it quickly. And so you come across this. So you know you're in Africa, number six, when your pet is not always just a pet. He helps us out, helped us out around the house. And number five, you know you're in Africa, and when you're dreaming for a white Christmas and you get a hailstorm. Now, in Africa, the seasons are completely opposite. So it was a nice hot day that day. But we did get a hailstorm, which reminded us of Christmas, that on that Christmas So number four, you know you're in Africa. My mom used to say, use your head for something other than a hat rack. And she was scolding me for something. But you'll notice in Africa, the ladies use their heads very well. Everywhere they go, they were carrying something on their head, hands-free, but it was just an amazing how they would be utilized. I've seen women walk many, many miles with things on their heads, and babies, and full arms, and this is a daily thing to get wood. So you know you're in Africa when, number three, I'm not sure exactly how to explain this, so I'll let you read it. When we were in Zimbabwe, Cindy said, oh, you've got to put that on your top 10. Definitely has to be one of them. So talk to us later. We'll explain what this is all about. And number two, you know you're in Africa when you can't find the handle to the toilet. So, and again, don't ask me why I took this picture, and I'll remove it right away. So you know you're in Africa when a road is not a road every time. So we came in on this road, but we came out. And as you'll see, that side of the door is where Cindy has to get out. And because the driver's side is on the opposite in Africa. But anyway, we were stranded for a little bit because it wasn't long in the village for people to say the missionaries are stuck, they need help. And so out come the help. And so we are grateful for our help.
During this season of Lottie Moon, I am thankful God called our family to serve him in Southern Africa, and for the joy of seeing people respond to the gospel and grow in their faith and share their faith with others. And we want you to know that when you do share by praying and by giving, that God uses that, that your prayers and your offerings are helping to take the gospel to every nation. But how is it that a family in rural Virginia, Chesterfield County, Virginia, can end up living in a place like you just saw? Well, in our case, it was definitely a God thing. I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home with parents who made the things of God very important and the local church very important. And so I came to know Christ at a young age, and it was very natural for me to get involved in a local church and serve Christ as I grew older. But there came a time when God began to move in my heart in a new way, in a different way, in a way that I had not experienced before. I began to pray specifically for missionaries, and when I say specifically for missionaries and the people they worked among, it was more than just God bless the missionaries. I realized and became aware that our prayers do in fact affect what we pray. Imagine that. When we ask God to pray that the missionaries have boldness, that God will use that and the missionaries will have boldness among their people. And so I began to do that, and over time, praying along with many other Southern Baptists for a particular set of missionaries who worked among a particular people group in the world who were hostile to the gospel. After so many years, after some years, that people group began to open up and began to receive the gospel. And due to those prayers and the faithfulness of those missionaries, people began coming to Christ. Churches were planted and churches multiplied. And it was then that God began to move in my heart when I had a chance to go on a mission trip to those very people and work alongside those missionaries who I had prayed for so long. And I could see firsthand what those prayers had done. And it was then that God began to stir in my heart something that I hadn't experienced before. And I would say to people, you know, here I am, God, send me. Because I knew Tom probably had a different idea about where we should be. So I was pretty safe in saying openly to God, here I am, send me. I continue to be active in the church and be part of missions and missions committees and mission teams and so forth, and find God's place for me at home. And then after a couple of years, Tom came home from work one day and said, I think God is calling me to full-time missions. And I said, better not be kidding me. And then I said, what in the world was I thinking? What in the world was I thinking that God would use me? But then I thought, maybe God didn't call me. He really wouldn't ask me to leave home and family and church and all that we knew. I wouldn't say that I had a crisis of faith at that time, but I was praying, God, are you really who you say you are? Do you really do what you say you do? So through the study of his word and prayer and life experiences, God made it clear time and time again that he was with us, that he would never leave us, he would never forsake us, and he was going to provide all that we needed for his glory and for the sake of the gospel. He sealed it with a verse for me in Isaiah 43:10 when I had read many times, but you know that time that you read it, it's like the first time. And it says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And throughout this time of call and through the long process of application with the International Mission Board, one of the hardest things for me was, how was I going to tell my parents? How was I going to tell Mom and Daddy that Tom and I felt God calling us to full-time missions, that we were going to go overseas, we were going to take their only two grandsons with us? And so I'll never forget the day we went over. We knew we had to sit down. I was drinking Pepto-Bismol like a beverage. It was not good, but I knew we had to tell them. And so we began to tell them, and my dad stopped me, and he said, God has already told me. You and Tom are going overseas to full-time to Africa, and you're taking Zachary and Eli with you. God was already providing.
Cindy and I took our first short-term mission trip together to Kenya, Africa. And as I was thinking back, I see the pictures in my mind. This was almost 15 years ago. Thinking of Africa, thinking of the people and the sounds that I heard and the smells and the fact that I was in a foreign land, and it was amongst a different culture. This was beginning to transform me that week. And so I'm walking with my new African friend, and we are going throughout a rural village one of those days. And this particular village had been forgotten and was poverty ridden, and it was really pressing upon my heart that not only were they poverty ridden, but they were starving for the gospel. They needed Christ. And so we were sharing the gospel throughout the village, and seeing people, men, women, young adults, right before my eyes as we would present the gospel, that they would surrender their lives to Christ. And so to see them right before my eyes step out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was so humbled that week. The God of the universe would use me to do this work, to bring this message of the gospel. Believe me, my life that week was being transformed. And on the flight home, I'll never forget it. He spoke to me and said something to my heart, I can use you. I'm telling you, truthfully, I was so afraid. I didn't really understand what that really meant for me. And so was this God? Or was this me trying to manufacture something? Maybe this missionary thing is cool. I don't know what it was. And I tried my best to forget about it. But again, I wasn't sure. And so for several months, I prayed. And I searched the scriptures. And I came across a passage in the scriptures in Luke 14, verses 25 through 34. I'll just read a few of those. But it's entitled, The Cost of Discipleship. And it goes on, and Jesus, there were many crowds there, and they were accompanying Jesus, and he turned to them and said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And the passage goes on and it talks about someone to build this structure and considering, you know, and considering, you must consider the financial cost to complete this structure. And the passage goes on and it talks about a king going out to war. And would he not, because he doesn't have the armies of his opponent, would he not call for peace? And the verse ends, because if he doesn't do these things, he could be mocked for not counting the cost. And the verse ends and says, So therefore, if any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Cindy and I wasn't a NASA doctor. But my story is just like Larry's. My story is I was sitting in the pew just like one of you folks here, and I didn't have a lot of education and theology, and I just was just like you. And so God spoke to my heart, and I wrestled with this, folks. And so I kept this word obedience, kept coming to my life. And at work, I'd go there, and I didn't feel like I belonged at work. But I came to the conclusion I needed to tell Cindy. I had not told anyone. I was truly afraid of what was happening, but I did search the scriptures, and I did pray, and I asked the Lord to reveal what it is that you would have me to do. And so one day, I came home from work, and as Cindy says, I told her that I felt God was calling me to missions, and it was Africa.
Well, I learned long before we left for the mission field that God was using the prayers and the gifts of Southern Baptists to bring the gospel to the world. And so as Bethel prays, as you begin to use your prayer guide this week and you pray for those missionaries and you participate in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you join God at work among the nations and you are partnering with field missionaries. I know there were days on the field that my prayers felt like they were that big and going that far, but there were faithful Southern Baptists praying for us, and we knew it. And there were days when without those prayers, I'm not sure if we had stayed on the field or if things would have been as they were. 100% of your giving of Lottie Moon goes directly to the work of reaching the nations. But what does that look like when we say goes directly to the field? So we thought in the context of our family, if you happen to be giving to Lottie Moon 15 plus years ago, what you gave did some of these things. So we are just going to practically show you literally what your giving does. First of all missionaries are trained very well at the International Learning Center for several weeks before they leave. Your Lottie Moon does that. Okay, good medical, good shots. The IMB gives, next to the U.S. military, gives more shots than any other organization in the U.S. A one-way ticket to the field. Once we arrived with our suitcases in country, we were provided with a vehicle and the things to set up household in a rental when we arrived. This was in South Africa, and then that's the Lottie Moon house. Your Lottie Moon Giving provides either a rental or a place. This is actually owned by the Baptist in Lesotho. So we had a home with security gates. You know, that home doesn't look very like you would think anything needs to be broken into, but we have much, much more than a lot of people who live nearby, and so security was there for us. We did 40 days and 40 nights of African immersion to learn how to live in Africa, and so that was provided for us in this nice tent that we lived in the bush of Zambia for 40 days to learn how to live in Africa. These are our boys when they were younger. When we first arrived, they attended school at a nearby English medium school. And then after that, we had always homeschooled our kids anyway, another one of God's provisions. That was the only thing we knew when we got to Lesotho was how to homeschool. But anyway, the boys had education, Bibles, and language teaching in the language of the people there, discipleship opportunities. That's Lesotho doesn't have a lot of trees, so a grapevine makes a nice shade. Bible study materials for those who were being discipled. Church planting. This was one of the first this was the first church plant in a small village. Leadership training. We were fortunate to have young men who came alongside of us and were anxious and willing to be trained to be pastors or church leaders. We partnered with other agencies. This is MAF, Mission Aviation, that would fly us up into the mountains of Lesotho where Larry Pepper, Dr. Pepper, had those clinics, and a lot of places you could only get to by plane. So we got to do that. Showing the Jesus film out in the middle of nowhere with a generator, we were able to share the gospel of Christ with Basutu, who stood for almost 3 hours in freezing cold to hear the story in their language. Mission teams like Bethel Baptist would come out. Bethel never did, but we had many churches who partnered alongside of us to work amongst those in the villages. And then annual meeting with other missionaries. Sometimes for our boys, it was the only time of year that they got to be with other Americans, and it was a great time of refreshing and training, and we thank you. So as you give, you see how you partner and how your offerings make a difference in the lives of others.
So let me just say this this morning, that in everything that Cindy and I say, we give God the glory. You see, that's our purpose, is to glorify Him in all that we do. And we have to step back and let Him step forward in our life as we were called to do this work in our everyday life. But for 6 years, the Lord allowed us to go and plant churches amongst the Basutu in Lesotho. And the Basutu people are a deeply rooted African people who prayed and worshiped their ancestors. Also playing around with witchcraft was part of their life. And so for salvations were very few in Lesotho, but we pressed on. 2012, we were asked to do a new assignment. We were asked to move to the country of Botswana and be a part of a new strategy that was being used in West Africa. And that strategy would be to develop profiles of people groups and then offer those to Southern Baptist churches to pray about and take one of those people groups and go there. And so Cindy and I would come to the States for about 8 weeks, and we had scheduled out those 8 weeks to do training for people who were coming to Southern Africa. And then we would meet them on the ground, and we would walk through the process of church planting with them. So we saw this strategy to be very fruitful. It was not living amongst a people and speaking the language so much, but it was being an arm for a missionary who can't get to a people group. Some of our missionaries have 3, 4, 5 different people groups that they're working amongst. And so this was a great help. This strategy was a great help, and God was glorifying it, because we saw many souls come to the kingdom through this strategy. Like Cecilia Madada, let me tell you her story. That day we were in Zimbabwe in a remote village and walking from homestead to homestead. Now, homestead was many little houses in a fence. And so we were just going and we were sharing the gospel. And I noticed from the corner of my eye, I noticed this woman coming over from her home. And she was real curious as to what was happening in her village. And so I stopped. Actually, I stopped sharing the gospel for her to come over, and I started over. See, I sensed in my heart that I wanted her to hear that full message of the gospel. I wanted her not to get the end of the story. I wanted her to hear the whole message, and she came, and we were sharing this message that comes from Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14, where Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate." And so we were telling that story all throughout. We called it was our evangelistic tool. We called that the two paths. And so one path, if you choose, leads to destruction and death. And the other path, if you choose, leads to life, life in Christ. And so that day, Cecilia Madada, she chose life. Right away, she began to dance right before us. After she had heard this message of the gospel and trusted him with the gospel, she began to dance. And I had not seen that before. And so she had great joy in her life. And later that evening, we would have a service. At the time it was at a school, because we were just beginning the work in this new village to plant churches. So we were meeting in a school, and we were under one solar light. And I took a video of this, but you'd never be able to see it well. But I did write her testimony down for you. And let me read what she said when she came to the church. She said, "If you knew me, I was a drunk." And the people began to laugh. They knew her. "Doing those lust things, but I am now a changed person. I am no longer the same. Even though you may talk about my past, I am no longer living in the past. I am living for Christ. I think that's my testimony." And that's how God used this young lady. I mean, he just transformed her life. Later on, I found out as I was talking to her, I found out that the day that she heard the gospel, she was on her way to drink traditional beer. Now, that's something that a lot of Africans are doing to appease their ancestors, and so she was on her way. And so here we see a church. Actually, this was an SBCV church working in the country of Zimbabwe in a very remote very remote village, and they were obedient to the call to come and work amongst that people. Well, our newsletter was called Melvin's on the Move, and so we were definitely on the move because we were driving around all over southern Africa from the country of Botswana. And things were going really, really well for us. But life took a bit of an unexpected detour. And I'll just say we will call this a bend in the road. Some of you know Pastor David Jeremiah. He wrote a book called A Bend in the Road. And you probably, if you read the book, you knew that he had cancer. And so for me, in the capital city of Johannesburg, South Africa, I was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer. And the doctor said to us, it's best that you go home. So I'll never forget when Cindy and I walked out of the hospital, after we'd gotten the diagnosis, and we walked out of the hospital, and we sat in that Lottie Moon truck that your dollars had given us, and we sat beside each other, and we looked at each other. And it was just silence, but then Cindy says, I'll be with you. And those words was almost as if Christ was speaking. When she said, I'll be with you, it reminded me of the scriptures when he said, I'll be with you. I will not forsake you, but I'll be with you. And that's what meant so much for me to her to say that, but what I heard was Christ. And so we returned to the U.S. We were praying. We were seeking our next steps for medical. And we just continued to seek out others to pray for us. And we trusted in God in everything and all along the way. And one of the provisions, when we were at a crossroads and I had done all the medical that I could do, and they were almost willing to send me to Botswana, but it was for a short time. That's how aggressive my cancer was. And so we were at a crossroads, and we didn't think this was exactly what God wanted us to do, was to not take this cancer and go after it aggressively. And so a man stepped into my life, a short story. We received an email, and he took care of all of my medical for me. Now, the IMB does great in our medical, but then there comes a point when there is, and I didn't know about this, but there's medical that goes off the chart. And this man named Jim stepped into my life and said, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I want to help you. And so I had a private health management arrange for me. I mean, who am I? Arrange for me to move me in a direction that I could get good care, that I could get great doctors. And so it was just one of the many, many provisions. And we saw God providing all throughout our life, and even today he is still providing. I think Cindy she wants to share a story about a friend of hers.
Through a difficult time of life, God continued to provide, and through a young woman named Impunyani. This is Impunyani, and she was from Lesotho. We met her. She lived in a village, a very large village of only two believers, and we began to build a relationship with the people of that village and eventually started a Bible study there. And after time, Impunyani received Christ, and she grew in her faith by leaps and bounds, and she just became a great prayer warrior and a student of the Bible. And we kept in touch with her once we moved to Botswana. When she learned that Tom had cancer, she just used what little few resources she had to send us texts, to send us scripture verses, to send us prayers while we were at Johns Hopkins going through some of this treatment. And then one day, probably at one of our lowest times of this medical journey, we received a very special special message from her, and I want to share that message with you. She did go back to school and get her nursing license, and that schooling was in English, so her English had really picked up from the time we had known her in country. But I want to share with you now the message that she sent to us.
He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something wonderful happened, and now I know Jesus touched me and made me whole. I am whole. I am whole. Oh, yes, I'm whole. I am whole. Because he touched me and made me whole.
This is why we go. And although you didn't know Impunyani or her story until today, because you prayed and because you gave, you helped impact her life. Your prayers and your offerings made it possible for God to use a young woman who lived in a village of only two believers to hear and respond to the truth of the gospel, to move from death to life, and to minister to our lives. Because of the medical challenges, we ended up having to leave the field and accept the early retirement. But we continue today to experience God's provisions in our lives. He provided new work for us once we returned home and got through all the medical. He's provided places for us to stay. We slept in 51 different beds before we got settled. And so we don't see that as a challenge. We see it as a blessing. And it's God's provisions. And presently, Tom's cancer is undetectable. And so that's a big provision in our lives as well.
So God did some amazing things in our life during that journey as we were going through the medical. And as Cindy told you, we can report that I am right now, cancer is undetectable. And so many churches were praying for us through this entire journey. And we would visit churches when we came home, and people would come out of and just, oh, so you're Tom Melvin. We've been praying for you. So I guess a challenge to you this morning, Bethel, here in Yorktown, Virginia, is what could God do with you? Where could he use you to reach the nations? Jesus sent out his disciples, and in Luke 10, verse 2, he says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field." Bethel, he's sending you. He's calling you. I don't know which one of you will answer that call. I was recently at a conference called Every Church in Every Nation, The IMB is ready to work with the churches closer now than ever before. David Platt, former IMB president of the IMB, he said this of the IMB, "We are open for business to reach the nations. When you partner with the IMB, you do more than make it possible to send missionaries. You are part of the team that goes." And I want you to understand, as you give your Lottie Moon dollars this Christmas season, that you are a part of reaching people for the gospel. But then there's some other opportunities, because churches from every size, he says, from every size and every context can form partnerships with the IMB missionary teams on the field. And you can work alongside them. You can pray for them. You can give to them. And also you can go on short-term mission trips and even send one from this church to the nations. So, as I said in the very beginning, we work better together. And again, that African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Well, amen. Let's thank them for coming today. Amen. We do thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming and sharing today. And, you know, it's been a while since we had some International Mission Board missionaries with us. And I'm so glad that God allowed you to be here just right up the road from us and living in Petersburg right now. And so God was at work and having them be here today. And I really believe that, you know, I've been praying for some time that God would call people from Bethel to go and serve on the mission field. Maybe he's calling one of you right now. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, when we have these types of offerings, and we're so used to it by now, many of you have been coming to Bethel for a long time, and you're used to hearing about Lottie Moon, you're used to hearing about Christmas offerings, and sometimes it can just become perfunctory. It just becomes a part of what we do. And I don't want it to become just what we do. I want it to become something that's real. And so hopefully, as you've heard these stories, you know that your dollars, your giving does make a difference. And so let me just lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to stand and sing a closing song together as we think about what we've heard today. God, thank you so much, God, for the way that you work, God, in people's hearts and lives. God, we thank you that you worked in Tom and Cindy's life, and God, they were obedient. They were obedient to you. They were obedient to the calling that you placed upon their lives, moving them and their two sons, Lord, to another country many, many miles away. And God, I thank you that you have been with them, Lord, through the experiences that they had there on the mission field. You've been with them, Lord, through medical crises. And God, you promise us that you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. So God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're speaking to, that you've been speaking to for some time, and maybe they've been resisting, God, the call upon their life. Lord, I pray that as a result of today, God, that you'd help us to be obedient. But God, also realize that obedience is a daily thing that we all have to deal with. And maybe that obedience is just simply talking to our neighbor about Jesus. Maybe that obedience is just simply carrying a gospel tract so that we can share it with our waitress, or we can share it with the person behind us in the grocery store. God, you've commanded us, you instructed us to be ambassadors for you. And so, Lord, I pray that that obedience would begin right here in this place. Yorktown, Newport News, Hampton, Coast. God, help us to follow you, Lord, where we are, and God, help us to follow you to the ends of the earth. For Lord, we thank you so much for what Jesus has done for us, and we worship you today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.